Guerrilla podcasting from the Pacific Northwest, defying the anchor apocalypse and shaking the very anchor world to its foundations. He is Joe Richter, and this is Hindsightless.
Let's get into the show! That's right, we're back with the greatest intro of all time. Thank you, Phantom. That was amazing, dude. That got me so pumped up when I listened to it. Yeah, folks, so we're back with the RPG episode for sure. I've played two games this week, plus I got some RPG-related calls. So that's what we're going to do. The first game I played was a game of Vigilante City with Jason Connerly as my fellow player and Eric as the DM, or the guy running the game. Vigilante City, again, it's the superheroes game that uses the ICRPG role-playing game to run it. It's an awesome game by Runehammer. That's the one where I'm playing a super intelligent, psychic, super strong motorcycle driving Bigfoot named Squatch. Jason is playing a super enigmatic, charismatic, sneaky, flying vampire named the Bat. So together we're Squatch and the Bat, which kind of sounds like it could be like the hosts of a morning radio show or something. Now you're tuning in to Squatch and the Bat! Anyway, you can hear a really awesome recap of the session on Jason's show, but it was a super fun session. We had to stop a speeding train, and it was a very hard moral decision. Do we stop the train? Do we defuse the bombs? Do we rescue the passengers? What do we do? And Jason was actually the one who came up with a brilliant solution. So again, you could check out his show for that. Vigilante City's awesome. We didn't really touch on using like effort and the different effort dice. It was all pretty much just ability checks. So I'll be really keen to get in on the once we start digging into a little bit more of with the effort dice and the different effort. That's going to be an interesting take. So that'll be cool. But that's just a really fun game. And then at time of recording, I just got finished playing in an amazing game run by the fantastic Jules from NZ. It was a 5th edition game where she gathered 5 of her New Zealand friends plus me to see if 6 PCs could beat an ancient red dragon. 6 first level PCs. So we fought an ancient red dragon, then an adult red dragon, then a young red dragon, then a dragon wormling. And it was amazing. You know, when I first woke up this morning, I was thinking, I don't know if I'm going to play, because I was out kind of late last night partying a little bit, but I rallied up and I'm so glad I did. It was such a fun session. I played Sven, the dwarven war cleric. And then there was a warlock, a ranger, a fighter, a rogue, and a barbarian. And the barbarian, she had named her axe. Her axe's name was Great Expectations. And that's just the most brilliant thing I'd heard in a long time. It was awesome. I'm sure Jules will talk about it on her show, so I won't talk about it too much. But it was really, really fun. It was interesting. Yeah, again, my dude's middle name was Meat Shield. So that might tell you a little bit about how the game went. But I'm sure she will talk about it more because, yeah, it was fun. You know, it was just, here's the scenario. There's the 6 of you. There's this dragon. Go. Super fun. And yeah, like I said, Jules from NZ, she'll talk about it more on her show. I'm positive. But okay, so up next, we got a bunch of calls coming in from all different ways. We got people sending me Google Voice numbers, which again is 611-494-6656. Shit, disregard that number. I don't care. Is that right? Fuck off. Anyway, we also have people using the Anchor website to leave messages and just whatever works for y'all, whatever is the easiest way to get me a message, I can make it work. So don't think you have to do something special in order to send me a message. Just whatever works for you guys will work for me, I promise. And yeah, so this first call is from Taylor. He's using the Anchor web to leave the message, and he's talking about some nerd stuff, and that's the kind of stuff we like talking about here. So Taylor, take it away, dude.
Hey Joey, this is Taylor over at ClearXWare Ringmail, calling in using the Anchor website from my phone. So should be easy to add the episode if you so desire, but it also may, well, hopefully the quality is there. Anyway, calling in about your call in to the Red Caps. Are Jedi paladins? Now, are they paladins? They fit in the sense that they do swear an oath to the Jedi Order, they do uphold the galaxy, and they do fall if they change their alignment. But they also, they don't wear armor, and they don't have a special mount. They do have their weapon, but the weapon is crafted by them as a sort of rite of passage as they change into their new role as a Jedi. So are they paladins, or are they a specialist class of monk? Food for thought.
That's a tasty morsel. That's a tasty morsel, Taylor. Yeah, I think they could be monks. Do paladins need to wear armor? I don't know. Having the horse, for sure. You know, that's pretty typical. All paladins generally have a horse. In some editions, they get the ability to summon a horse or bond with a horse. Like in Pathfinder, at 5th level, you can either bond with your weapon and it becomes magically invested, or you can bond with your horse and it becomes basically like a druid's animal companion, which is a lot better than just a regular horse. So yeah, the mount is pretty crucial, I think. I'm not sold on the armor, but yeah, pretty much, man. Because I think of Roland Deschain from the Gunslinger books as a paladin, because Stephen King refers to him as a paladin a couple times, and it's based on, well, partially inspired by the poem Child Roland to the Dark Tower Comes, or Child Roland to the Dark Tower Came, I think, which is about paladins and stuff. So yeah, I don't know, but could it be a monk? Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I like that. I think that's cool. I think you could probably build a Jedi, especially in something like 5e, where it's really easy for like a thing like a fighter, a class like a fighter, to get magic. It'd be harder to do it in Pathfinder. You'd have to multi-class. You go fighter wizard and make a and make a Jedi. You could go paladin and make a Jedi. You could go monk and make a Jedi. Sorcerer, maybe. You'd be harder pressed because Jedi are famously good in melee combat, and doing that with a sorcerer would be pretty tough. That would be tough. So, but I think couldn't really do it with barbarian. They're too chaotic, they're too ragey. But yeah, certain types of fighters or monks or paladins would all make a sweet Jedi. And like this, I see, that's why I love making characters. Now I want to make some Jedi in Pathfinder. Because they do have, there's a special weapon, magical property you can get. It's very expensive, very high level magic is required, but it basically turns your sword into a lightsaber. It's called a brilliant energy weapon. It ignores all armor. So, yeah, it ignores all armor. It ignores just all armor, and that's just crazy. Anyway, yeah, I agree. I think a monk could be a good adaptation for a Jedi, amongst other things. So awesome call on that, man. Let's see who's next, because I don't know.
Hey Joe, glad you have clean sheets and you washed your ass. That's good. Very, very good. Yeah, totally. Role-playing games are a joint experience, whether you're a GM or one of your the players, you know, playing a totally different game. It's still incumbent on everybody to do their homework ahead of time and know what they're doing as they get to the table. I mean, obviously, if it's a teaching game, if you're new to the system, say, hey, just show up, we'll learn as we go, that's different. But if you're in an ongoing game and there's that expectation, then, you know, you got to step up. So it's all good. And I look forward to your next show where I hear the rest of my message you chopped out of this one. So anyhow, take it easy, and I will talk to you soon.
I hope you enjoyed hearing the rest of your messages in my last episode, and thank you for thinking about my ass, dude. I like that you think about my ass when you're driving around. That makes me happy. Yeah, dude, absolutely. If you're just coming into a new game that you don't know about, obviously you don't have any homework. It's like the first day of school, right? You don't have homework on the first day of school, except those teachers that pre-assigned homework that was due on the first day. They were the worst. Yeah, you're learning a system, you're learning the system. But again, once you've been playing for a while, which was, you know, as much as I didn't want to, why I forced myself before our session of Vigilante City to open up my character sheet and look at it again and remember how the hell to play the game, because it had been a couple weeks since we played last, and I really wanted to, you know, play the character right, play the game right, and yeah, that's what I had to do, because I didn't have any recollection of of what my dude could do. And that's another thing, when it comes down to it, take good notes about, not necessarily about what's going on in the game, but about how your character works, especially if you're playing in a game that is only every other week, or you miss a bunch of weeks. Like, have notes that remind you what your character can do, what they're about and stuff. Because yeah, I was just able to open up the Word document I made as a character sheet and be like, oh, okay, this is how the game works. That's right. And that was super helpful, man. So yeah. Right on, dude. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the voice message that was on my Google Voice line that message came through. So it's up and working. 611-494-6656. Right on. Well, up next we have a message from Carl, kind of on the same lines of doing homework and communication and group dynamics and stuff. So Carl, take it away, dude.
Hey Joe, this is Carl calling. I am sending a message through the Anchor website, so hopefully you'll be able to get it and use it. Anchor is, the website does a weird thing to me on the phone. It's like, it says, your mic permissions aren't active. And then I wait a second and it's fine. Like, that message goes away, but it's very strange because my mic permission is fine. But oh well, I guess it's a byproduct of the Anchorpocalypse. And yeah, I don't want to talk about Anchor though. I want to talk about gaming and talk about more about communication. I think it is pretty cool. Or not just communication about expectations, I think, is the big thing, right? So like you were emphasizing, we're talking about players doing their homework and the GM doing their homework before a game. And I think communication of expectations is very important. All right, so we're talking about communication. I will say that it did take me a little bit of time to record a second time. It's just the app is kind of wonky. No, it's not the app. The website's kind of wonky, and you have to press exactly the right place, or you go to Spotify, or it starts the podcast up again. It's weird. So about communication, what I thought, I love my groups, but I feel like there's always like that one person, right? There's that one, and they don't have to be the same person. There's that one person, speaking of communication, that doesn't communicate until the last minute, whether they're going to come or not. There's also that person that I've found that always is contentious about you taking away their character's stuff, right? They don't like being captured. They don't like giving up their weapon at the door, at the bar, that kind of stuff. There's always the player who is the min-maxer. And again, So I guess there was a question in there somewhere. And if you do have those types, what do you do? Is that part of communication where you kind of talk to a particular player about this habit and nip it in the bud during like a session zero, or if they've been for a while, take them aside and communicate to them, this is disruptive and this is why it's disruptive, or not, just let it go and talk about it on podcast. Oh, well, have a good one, Joe.
He got cut off there at the end because the Anchor website leaving a message through there sounds kind of like a hassle. I haven't used that method yet, but yeah, Carl, it's funny. You know, in my group, I have a player, one of my long-term players, is notoriously terrible at communicating, at responding to messages, to doing their homework before the very last second, all of that stuff. And all of those options you mentioned about what do you do? Do you talk to them? Do you pull them aside? I have done all of those things. And what it comes down to is this player is going to be themselves. And that's pretty much all there is to it. And I love playing with them. So it's not like I would have it, you know, I would never get rid of them in a million years. But yeah, it is one of those things where it's just like, oh man, come on. But communication can only do so much. You know, I've expressed the fact that I would like that those things to change, but people are individuals and they get to make their own decisions. And so, yeah, we just move forward. And hopefully it doesn't get to the point in anyone's group where a certain player is too disruptive, where it's like ruining the fun for other people. Then that's the case, right? Like, my player that I'm talking about doesn't ruin the fun for other people. But yeah, you know, when you have someone in the group that is, that's when things get dicey. That's when you have to have serious conversations and be like, yo, this particular thing needs to change or you're gone. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I mentioned that it took Woody and I a long time to put this group together, and we went through a bunch of people, and, you know, those people aren't still in the group, so either they left or we got rid of them, and that involved conversations and just like, yeah, this isn't working out, sorry, you know, but it's just group dynamics, right? They're tricky, they're challenging. We humans are very crazy individuals. But we do what we can, and the goal is to have fun. And as long as that's everybody's goal, then you're probably going to be pretty good, you know. I mean, that's not a guarantee, cuz some people think of fun in a way that isn't fun for other people. But again, I think, you know, most people that want to join a group are probably fine. I'm slowing down as I say that because I'm thinking if I really think that's true. Do I think most people, I don't know, a lot of people are probably fine, you know? But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm no psychiatrist or anything. I don't know how the human psyche works. I just go off of my own experiences. And that's what I've found, is that, you know, you talk to people, and if it's working, it's working. And if not, you go your separate ways. And that's okay. It's okay to not play games with people. It doesn't mean you hate them as a person. It just means for this group activity, things are not meshing, so let's not force it. Yeah, man. Because having a good, solid home group is awesome, and it's, yeah, it's just awesome if you can have that. And I gotta ramp mine up again. We just gotta figure out some logistics. Because my house used to be the gaming house. So the fact that the three other people in my group live relatively close to each other and I lived far away or far-ish away, that made sense for them to come to me because my house was the gaming house. But now my house can't be the gaming house anymore because it's just too small. Yeah, we just got to figure out some logistics and go because I'm itching to run a home game again, to get like an in-person game going again on a regular basis. I'm itching for that. So I don't know. We'll see what happens, man. But communicating expectations, that's something that I'm not all that great at. I don't often communicate what I'll tell people what the game is going to be like. Talk to them about it, bounce ideas back and forth. But as far as like saying, here are my expectations for this game, I don't usually do that. But it is a good thing to do, and it's a thing I need to work at and get better at, is just saying, okay, cool, here's what the game's going to be about. Here's what I'm looking for in this game, How are we feeling about that? And going from there. Yeah, I don't know. Everything's crazy. I've rambled on long enough about this, Carl. Thank you for the question that inspired this ramble. I appreciate it. Okay, I think that's everything. Let me get out of here. Great expectations. Sorry, that shit just cracked me up, man. I did say that if my character had a mace, its name would have been of Mace and Men, but that's not nearly as good as Great Expectations. So yeah, a big shout out to Jules for letting me play in that game. A huge shout out to Pink Phantom for dropping a sick, sick intro. And a big shout out to Taylor and Jason and Carl for sending in messages. I appreciate it, boys. I'm glad we're still able to do this despite everything. It's awesome. And yeah, I hope everybody out there is having a good weekend. Mine's been pretty full so far. Friday night, I partied. Saturday, I played in a game. I'm putting out an episode. I'm going out tonight. Yeah, busy, busy weekend for me, which is cool. It's nice to be back, kind of, in the neighborhood again. My old neighborhood-ish. It's kind of nice. Oh, yeah. So, I hope you guys are all kicking ass out there. Having fun playing games. Next week, as that time of recording, will be our next session of Wrath of the Righteous. I can't wait for that. The session pretty much ended on Haven opening up a door on eight ghouls in a ritual. So that should be an interesting encounter. Yeah. Eight ghouls just praying, doing some thing. What are they doing? I don't know. Well, I guess we'll find out, but the ghouls don't look happy to see them. That's gonna be fun. I can't wait for that. And yeah, otherwise, I'm gonna get out of here. Y'all take care of yourselves, be good to each other, be good to other people, and I will talk to y'all soon. Okay, until then, peace out.